بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Inshallah, today, sisters, actually I will actually answer some of the emails which I have it regarding the classes of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Actually, I received many emails from sisters that they actually are looking forward to have their kids to be the same like Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. They were all affected by the class of Prophet Ismail and by the attitude of Prophet Ismail towards his father. And actually that Prophet Ismail, they felt that Prophet Ismail is a great blessing in life, and they actually want to know how to raise their kids as Muslims so that they will be the forbearing, obeying, well-mannered children like Prophet Ismail. Inshallah, today we will have some ways, or we will have the way inshallah, in order to raise our kids like the way Prophet Ismail was raised, so that inshallah our kids will be having the same manners like Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. Actually, it will be a summary regarding how to raise the kids in Islam, and inshallah I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can get benefit from that summary, so that inshallah Allah will bless all our children, and inshallah they will be all a blessing in our life. Inshallah, we'll start together to learn about an important trust in Islam, which is the amana of the children. Allah the Almighty said in Surah number 66, Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 6, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون.
O you who believe, ward off yourselves and your family against a fire, hell, whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who disobey not from executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is commanding the parents and the believing parents to save their kids from their children from the fires of the world. Then it is the first priority, and it is the obligation for the parents to save their children from the fire of the hellfire of the hereafter, which is the hellfire. Actually, the fire of the hereafter is an everlasting severe one, and the only way to save the children from the hellfire is to raise them as believers in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to teach them to live their life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is to say, to live Islam as a way of life. Living Islam as a way of life means to teach the children the Islamic values, rules and manners, to educate them the best morals, and to protect them from the bad companionship and friends, and to clarify to them the reality of the worldly enjoyment. For example, when your child grows up, they are not supposed to waste their precious lives in desiring the deceiving enjoyment of the worldly life. Instead, they have to live the life as a farm for the good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have the paradise as their final destination. Actually, we must realize that our children are a trust. A trust means amana and responsibility, which Allah will question us about it on the Day of Judgment. As it is our responsibility, we parents, to raise our kids following the path of Islam. It is clear that Allah the Almighty has entrusted parents with their children. Parents bear the responsibility to raise up their children in the Islamic way. If they do that, they will be blessed in this life and the hereafter. And actually, as parents, and I am a mother, actually, and now I have my kids, they grow up. I have one whom she is around 29, and one is 24, and one is 15. Actually, I am living this reality. If you raise your kids following the rules of Allah and living Islam as a way of life, your kids will be the best blessing in this life while you are in your old age. They will be treating you in a very kind way, and they will be having their earning from the halal money, and they will be checking about you all the time. They will be doing dua for you. They will give you the warmth and the feeling of good companionship, which you are looking for, especially in the West, where you don't have your family, other family members, but all praise to Allah. If you have your children as righteous believers, inshallah, they will be the compensation for all the feeling of loneliness, which you may feel it, especially at the old age and in the West. And the opposite is also true. If you have your kids, especially in the West, whom you didn't teach them the rules of Islam or the rules of the Quran, and they grow up as Muslims by name, you will feel a lot of upset, and you will be very sad at your old age when you will look around you looking for your kids to check about you, or to tell you nice words, or to come and visit you, or to compensate for all your effort and your wealth and your time which you spend for them. And unfortunately, you will never find what you are looking for. In spite of that, you will always observe that they don't care for you, they never check about you, they always send for you a message, you are not our responsibility, you are your own responsibility, take care of yourself and forget about us completely. This is a disaster for the parents at the old age. It was more better for those parents not to have these kids, not to waste their time and their wealth and their effort and their health for these kinds of kids, whom they are in reality a disaster and a bad sign for the parents, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't bless your kids and your money and your wealth and your time which you spent on them, because you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are raising your kids. You raise your kids to become the best doctors and the best engineers, but you didn't raise your kids to be the believers in the unity of Allah and to live Islam as a way of life. Accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to be the best doctors as you like, okay, but they were not the best believers, and they were not the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the parents to raise, so that, you know, your kids will be the fruits of your life when you are in your old age. In reality, when you look around you, most of the, actually in my classes, I only discuss the problem of the Islam and the Muslims. Okay, it is not my problem that all the kids around are not good. This is not our problem as Muslims. Our problem as Muslim is the Muslim community. And in the Muslim community, if you look around you, you will notice that most of the kids nowadays, either they are in the West or in the Muslim countries, they are not a blessing for their parents. Accordingly, these classes about raising the kids according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very fundamental class for every Muslim believer, so that inshallah we will be doing our responsibility towards our kids in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we will be questioned about our kids in the Day of Judgment. statement as our kids are the future of the Muslim Ummah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are guardians and all of you are responsible for things under your guardianship. The man is a guardian over his family and responsible for them. The woman is a guardian of her husband's house and she is responsible for it. All of you are guardians for things under your control. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't excuse anyone from responsibilities that Allah has put on every individual to build the Islamic society, all within their capacities. So as a mother and as a father, you have to know that you have a responsibility. It is not an advantage to take care of your kids. It is not an advantage to spend on them. It is not an advantage from you to teach them the Quran and to teach them the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is your responsibility, which you will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. Every Muslim has to be aware of that responsibility. Otherwise, on the Day of Judgment, we will be in great trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, our situation as Ummah these days is nothing but the result of the neglect of this responsibility. Yes, this is very clear. Okay, if every mother and father, women, fathers and mothers share the responsibility to raise, educate and build the new generation in the correct method and the right way. Let us read this message from a father to his son. The father is saying to his son, I found you a part of myself, rather than I found you my whole. So much that if anything befall you, it was as though it befall me. And if this came to you, it was as though it came to me. Consequently, your affairs mean to me as my own matters would mean to me. So I have written this piece of advice as an instrument of help. Certainly, the heart of young man is like uncultivated land. It accepts whatever is straw on it. So I hastened to mold you probably before your heart hardens up and your mind get occupied, so that you may be ready to accept through your intelligence the results and experiences of others and be saved from going through these experiences yourself. Actually, the meaning of this message, sisters, is that the father is clarifying to his son how he is very important for him, how the father is so attached to his son to the extent that their affairs are the same. Accordingly, the father wants his son to obey the rules which he will teach him, so that he will get the benefit of the experience of the father rather than to go through the experience by himself. The guidance and training that a parent gives to his or her child is vital for the progress of the child. Although the child may not appreciate it at the time, a loving parent knows that his or her child is a trust which Allah is the one to reward for it. Inshallah, we will learn about Islamic ways of raising our children in full details, so that we will have a clear strategy regarding our role and our responsibilities towards our children. And the first question is, what is the meaning of raising children in an Islamic way? The answer is, it means to provide them with the necessary guidance and discipline through awakening the potential virtues in the human being and helping them to develop. Raising children according to Islamic rules is a plan and a strategy with a goal of having righteous Muslims living Islam as a way of life, following the rules of the Quran and having Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the role model. So having the paradise as final destination. It is a continuous process which starts even before the delivery of the baby. It brings about change for the better. It is a movement towards having a successful Muslim community. Let us answer some questions related to the influence of the parents on their children and answer these questions so that we will learn our role regarding our children. Actually, before clarifying the influence of parents on their children, as a mother, I have to remind myself and to remind every mother and also every father, every parent, that your children are the fruits of your tree. If your tree is a healthy one and strong-rooted one, your fruits will be healthy one and sweet one. But if the tree, which is providing the fruits with the food, is not a good one, the fruits will not be good. The fruits will be unhealthy, and actually maybe there will be no fruits at all. Again and again, before starting the classes of the responsibility or the trust of the children, I have to remind myself and I have to remind all the parents and the spouses that, as we clarified in the classes of the marriage, the family is the most important environment for raising the kids, raising the children. The relation between the father and the mother must be a healthy, successful one, so that there will be a home full of peace, warmth, happiness, tranquility, so that the kids will grow up in the correct environment. We are not supposed to start giving attention to the classes of raising the kids without giving the proper attention to the relation between the father and the mother. This is the most important. The most important for the kids is the father and the mother, the family, the home. So in order to have kids whom, or children whom they live Islam as a way of life, basically, I have first to be sure of the relation between the father and the mother. I have to be sure that both parents are living Islam as a way of life. Both parents, they believe that marriage is an act of worship. Both parents, they follow the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah towards each other. This means that they have the correct family. This means that we have the healthy environment to have kids to be raised in. This is the basic fundamental knowledge and rule which we have to realize and which we have to have it in reality, okay, so that inshallah we can plan to have children. But without having a family in which the father and the mother, they live Islam as a way of life, they believe that marriage is an act of worship, they love each other for the sake of Allah, they have the mercy and affection as the basic relation between each other, they are ready to sacrifice, to forget and to forgive and to say the good word and all the bridges of love which we clarified in the classes of marriage. If we don't have all of these fundamental prerequisites for the healthy and for the Muslim children, we will never be able to have any Muslim children or any healthy human being or any good generation of Muslims, because the family is the most important fundamental unit for the Muslim community. The family is the base on which I can build the building in a correct way. Our buildings as Muslims are our children. These are the future for Islam. So now, inshallah, we will answer the question, which is, what is the influence of the parents on their children? Parents have twofold influence on their children. Number one, influence through inheritance. Basically, we need to know that every child is having his genes from his parents. The child is a combination of the characters of his parents, his father and his mother. Even the physical appearance, the intelligence, healthy or illness are often a result of inheritance. And this clarifies the importance of parents regarding the inherited characters of their children. Actually, this very important fact, which you know, so long as I was a pediatrician, and we learned about this fact about the genes. Actually, the baby To have a baby, the baby will have one gene from his father and one gene from his mother. Okay, and because of that, he will have the mixture of the characters of the father, grandfather, and mother, grandmother, whatever in this family, the baby will have it from his genes through the inheritance. Accordingly, you always notice that when you look to a child, he is a mirror image of his father or his mother or his grandfather. This is because of the genes. You know, this regarding the physical appearance, the intelligence, also regarding the illnesses. There are some diseases which are called familiar diseases. You know, these are the diseases which run in one family. Accordingly, according to the genes transportation from, you know, one member to the others. So we have to know that the parents, they have a great influence on their kids through the inheritance, and there are many characters of the children, they have it from their parents. This fact has to be clear in the mind of every one of us, because it will be practiced in a responsibility which I will clarify to you now. So number one, the influence through the inheritance. Number two, the influence through the contact. It is the mother, mainly, actually, who has the first contact with the baby as she supplies him with the food which he needs to while he is, you know, in her womb. Okay, you have to know that actually while the baby is inside, you know, it's called the womb. Inside the womb of the mother, the baby is having his food from the blood supply of the mother. Accordingly, it is always advised that the mother must have healthy food. The mother must have very good psychological mood. Important, so that you can realize how the baby, even before delivery, is so connected with the mother and so influenced by his mother. It is always advised, especially during the first trimester of pregnancy, which is the first 3 months of pregnancy, that the mother is not supposed to have any medication, that the mother is not supposed to be exposed to any x-rays, that the mother is not supposed to smoke, and the mother is not supposed to have any antidepressant, and also the mother must be always in a good mood, high mood, because all of these factors are affecting the baby. Even if the mother is having depression, this will affect the baby, because up till now, no one is sure 100% about how this depression can affect the growth of the vital organs of the baby, which they are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making them in the first 3 months of pregnancy. Accordingly, every mother has to feel when she becomes pregnant that there is another human being who is formed inside her body, and that human being is very connected to her and she has a great influence on him. That baby now is a responsibility for the mother. Okay, the mother is not one person now, the mother is two persons. She has her own self and she has another baby whom he or she is her responsibility. She is not free to smoke, she is not free to become very upset, she is not free to have any medication, because she has the responsibility towards her baby. So this is clarifying that, you know, the emotional and the mental and the physical health of the baby are depending on the physical and the emotional and mental health of the mother. And the mother must provide the baby with the best circumstances for his or her normal growth. And actually, as soon as the baby is delivered, he or she will be totally dependent on their parents, especially the mother, to support the baby with the food, the love, and the care, which are the essential for their growth. And I think that every mother, she knows, you know, about, you know, how she had a great influence on her baby before delivery and after delivery, when she has, you know, a small baby who doesn't know anything, who doesn't have the power to improve her about if he is hungry or if he is thirsty or he wants to cry, he has pain, whatever. He doesn't have any ways to clarify to her these needs, but the mother, with her feeling of responsibility, this is the feeling of the responsibility and the feeling of the trust. The baby now for you is a trust. So as a mother, I am supposed to know my responsibility. The mother is the one responsible for feeding, giving love, giving care for that baby, and the witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the children are trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will reward the mother whom she is taking care of that baby in the best shape for the sake of Allah, believing that the baby is a trust for me. There are some mothers whom sometimes they neglect the babies. The mother will, for example, if the baby will cry at night and she is tired, she will not wake up for the baby. There are some mothers whom they sometimes refuse to give breastfeeding. Some mothers, they are under the impression that if I give breastfeeding, I will gain a lot of weight and my body shape will be, you know, not good, so I will not give breastfeeding. I will just give bottle feeding. This is none of my business. And, you know, if someone will tell her this is not good for your baby because the breastfeeding is having a lot of vitamins and antibodies which your baby needs, she will tell you, I am very sorry, I have to care also for myself. I have to return to work. My work is very important. I cannot forget about my work. I will give him, my baby, a bottle feeding, and inshallah everything is alright. This is not the responsibility. This is not the trust. Allah will question you about it. Allah is your witness. Okay? The baby is not just a human being whom he cannot defend his rights because he cannot talk and he cannot, you know, clarify his needs. The baby is a creature whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of him, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the mother through that trust. So the believer mother must be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness regarding the trust of the baby, and she must fulfill all her responsibilities towards that baby in the best shape for the sake of Allah, because she is a believer in Allah and she is a believer that on the day of judgment Allah will question her about this responsibility. Again, during the first 3 to 5 years of age, the babies are always willing to initiate all the actions which the parents teach them. For example, the way to eat, forms of speech, basic behaviors, responses, they are all picked up by the children according to the teaching and the observations of the parents. Your children are the mirrors of your manners and behavior as you are their teacher, so be aware of your great responsibility. I hope that we realize the important and fundamental role of the parents regarding their kids. So it is the trust for every Muslim to choose a Muslim partner who practices the Islam and who is also having a good health, good character, so that he or she, her influence or his influence on the children will be the right and the healthy one. This is the first responsibility regarding our children, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Muslim, as he said, marry into the righteous family, for genes have effects. Okay, actually I need to clarify to you this point. Now I am clarifying the first responsibility of the parents towards their kids. This responsibility is to choose the correct partner, because the correct partner will be the father or the mother of your children. The correct partner will be the source of the genes for your children. If the correct partner will be the teacher for your children, the correct partner will be the person who is in continuous contact with your children. So if your partner is not the one who is living Islam as a way of life, be sure that your children will never Islam as a way of life. Because the children needs a teacher, and the children follow the rules of the teacher. If the teacher doesn't care for Islam, the children will never care for Islam. Okay? And sisters, let us be realistic. There are some people under the impression that if the mother is religious and the father is not religious, there is no problem. This is totally wrong concept. The father is always having a role in the family. The father must have a role in raising his kids. The father is the one to take his kids to the masjid and to teach them the basics of Islam with the mother. So we are not supposed to be under the impression that if one of the spouse is religious, there is no problem to have the other one not religious, so long as the other one is wealthy and can provide the highest, earn the best amount of money for the family. This is totally wrong concept. The most important to have righteous children, whom Allah will question you about on the Day of Judgment, whom they are a trust. Because we Muslims are not aware of that great trust. Children are a great trust. They are not just fun and happiness in this worldly life. This is wrong. And inshallah, next week I will clarify to you all the verses of the Quran related to children. And we will realize how they are great trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long as I believe that the children are great trust, which I will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment, and it may be, unfortunately, the way to the hellfire for me as a mother, I have to be aware that I must choose before marriage, I must choose the rightest partner, so that as a mother or as a father, both of them must be rightest, so that both of them will be believing that Islam must be a way of life. They must be practicing Islam as a way of life. So when the children will come in contact with the parents, immediately they will live Islam as a way of life. Parents are the role model for their kids. This is number one regarding the religious. Number two, regarding the character. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said marry into the righteous family, he clarified, for genes have effects, okay? Because there are some people whom they have bad manners. There are very big variety of the bad manners. Okay, either, you know, they are cheating people by nature or deceiving by nature. Whatever bad manner they have, you know, this is their nature. Sisters, you know, there are kinds of bad manners, okay, and bad characters. And these characters are sometimes transferred by the genes. And because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his advice was actually related to choosing the righteous mother, okay, and to be away from those women whom they have bad manners, or they are from bad families. If you know, for example, someone wants to marry a girl, and that girl, her mother is not a good one, he is not supposed to marry that girl. Even if the girl is good, but her mother is not a good one, he is not supposed to marry her because of the genes. Okay, still, she is good, but in her genes, there are some characters from her mother which they may show up at any time, and which they may be, these genes were escaped in the mother, they didn't show in that girl, but they may show in his kids. So you have to be aware of the whole family because of the genes effect. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and this means that he encouraged the marriage of the righteous people. Somebody noticed that a woman, she is very hot temper. I'm upset very easily. She is extremely nervous all the time. I am not supposed to marry her daughter. Because this daughter, she was raised in that environment, even, you know, genetically and also by contact with that mother. You know, she is under the impression that I can be nervous at any time. I can throw everything in the face of my husband at any time, as my mother was doing. Okay, so this is, you know, this is not the best choice. Why to choose one woman to live with her all her life while, you know, she was not living in the righteous family, okay? And also maybe, you know, she had the genes of her mother. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Okay, so, yes, so this is, you know, regarding, you know, to choose the spouse, you know, to be living Islam as a way of life and to have the good characters and also sisters to have the good health. Okay, this is a command, you know, in Islam. Okay, it is not, you know, it is not bad if you check about, or it is not haram to check about the family before marriage, the family of the spouse. Okay, because sometimes there are some neurological diseases. Okay, and these neurological diseases are big disaster. So it is not haram if I check about the family of the spouse, and inshallah, I feel that inshallah everything is all right for them. If sometimes there are some cases, excuses, you know, we can, you know, accept the excuses, but it must not be the rule. Try to choose the healthy wife so that inshallah, and the healthy husband so that inshallah you will have the healthy kids.
You know, mostly we say here, you know, that the genes in America, you know, scientific progress is much higher than rest of the world. And people are so in, you know, in Christianity, cousins cannot marry. Because, and mostly here, people call about genes. Mm-hmm. Islam, they can. We can see, you know, marriages are just fine. We can go and see the hospitals of America, you know. Mother is from America, father from Germany. I mean, they far. But still, even scientifically speaking, even if there is some disease or something, it should go away. But still, hospitals are full of children with birth defects.
But I want to tell you one thing regarding to this point. This is very important, you know, because I was working, you know, in the pediatric clinics, and I noticed, you know, this problem. Actually, if you notice birth defect and some hereditary illnesses in America, multiplied by thousands in the Muslim countries. Because, yes, because of the marriage of the cousins. You know, this cousin marriage is making the disease to be still in the family. Suppose I married my cousin, then yeah, my daughter married my cousin, then my son married his cousin. We will keep the illness in the family, and it will be in a more severe form. Okay, so this is now the problem in the Muslim countries, and now, you know, they are trying to avoid marrying from the same family so that the illnesses, these hereditary illnesses will disappear when you will marry from outside. But to keep on marrying from the first degree cousin, as it was going on over the last 50 or 100 or 200 years, it was actually a clear proof that, you know, this is the cause of increasing the severity of the hereditary illnesses. And actually, once, it was 25 years ago, and we were having the neurology clinic, you know, this is the special clinic. Okay, and actually we have one one very famous neurologist from Canada. He came to run this clinic, you know, while I was working in the University of King Faisal in Eastern Province 25 years ago. After he worked for 1 year, and he was having, you know, maybe a salary equal to $50,000 per month without taxes, he resigned. He resigned because he said, I can't imagine that these kind of severe hereditary illness are there. It is very bad. It is very upsetting. I don't know how to treat it. And all of this is because of the first degree marriage of the cousins, which was going on in the Muslim families. Okay? Yes. And because of that, you know, we have to learn that so long as I can marry a good Muslima, whom she is healthy, okay, so that I will save my kids from the illnesses. Okay, and I will save the whole family from keeping the illness inside the family. When you marry from outside the family, you weaken the illness by time. So after 3 or 4 generations, the illness will disappear. Okay, so actually we have always to realize this reality. To choose a healthy spouse is important and is recommended in Islam, so that inshallah we will have the new generations as healthy generations. Actually now we have the righteous parents, and we agreed that righteous parents are the most important fundamental need to have the righteous children. The next question will be, what are the aspects of raising up, that is to say, training and teaching, which every parent should cover? Now, when I tell you are a parent and there are some aspects which you should cover regarding your kid, you will, or your child, you will ask me, okay, can you inform me about these aspects? Number one is guidance. Believe in the unity of Allah, living the Islam as a way of life, learning the rules of the Holy Quran, and learning the life and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also learning the Islamic manners and morals, the importance of being a responsible human being. You have to teach your child to know his responsibility towards his God, towards himself, towards his family, towards his community, and towards the whole humanity. Teaching must be in steps and according to the age and the ability of the child, and that's what we will learn in the classes, inshallah. Number two, discipline and control. Regarding discipline and control, we will read from the Quran in Surah number 12, verse number 53. Read from Surah number, verse number 53. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم.
And I free not myself from the blame. Verily, the human self is inclined to evil, except when my Lord bestows his mercy upon whom he wills. Verily, my Lord is oft-giving, most merciful.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, you know, that rule, that verily the human self is inclined to evil, except when your Lord bestows his mercy upon whom he wills. Okay, so actually it is more easy to follow the desires of the spirit, especially for the small child who lacks maturity and wisdom. In Islam, there are certain rules and values which every Muslim needs to learn and follow. It is the duty of the parents to teach their children the Islamic rules and behavior, which all children need so that they can live a good life and they can participate in building the successful, respectable Islamic community. It is the divine rules which Allah taught the Muslims in the Quran. These rules are based on the understanding of the nature of the human being and the best ways to control it. A child should be taught that human being is different from the animals, and that he must control his desires and emotions like anger, jealousy, greed, and selfishness. It is the duty of the parents to deal with these emotions and help the child to control them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the right of a child over his parents is that he should give him a good name, make his manners good, and teach him the Quran. And actually, if we try to discuss this hadith according to what is going on now around us, number one right of the child is that his father must give him a good name, supposed to be Islamic name. Okay, subhanallah, most of the names now are not Islamic ones. This is number one. Okay, about the name. Number two, to make him, to teach him the good manners. These are the manners of Islam. Subhanallah, now if you have a Muslim who has good manners, he will tell you this is the etiquette, which I learned when I come to America. Okay, this is the etiquette and the protocol. My good manners are according to the etiquette. They are not the good manners which are related to my religion. Yes. And also to teach him the Quran. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows now where is the Quran in the life of the Muslims. Okay, the Quran which you recite, which you understand its meaning, which you live its rules as a way of life. To tell you the truth, living the Quran as a way of life nowadays is about to be a dream in the life of the Muslims. Okay, so this means that most of the Muslims are not fulfilling the responsibilities towards their kids. Every one of us sisters has to be aware of this reality. We cannot cheat ourselves. We cannot deceive ourselves. I cannot say I am giving the best food to my children and I am sending them to the most prestigious private schools and I am teaching them the etiquette and the protocol of the West, and because of that my children are mashallah very well mannered and they have the best sibling. Where is the Quran? Where are the rules of the Quran? Where is the rules of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where are the manners of the Muslims? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Let us wait and see. Now whenever I give a class, I always remind the sisters, wait and see. We have the Day of Judgment and Allah will question everyone about that book, the Quran, which we are not teaching to our children, which is not anymore the way of life of us or our children, which is out of the equation for us and our children. Then at the end of the day, we are happy about our situation. Let us wait and see. Yes. Now I will clarify to you the third Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim aspect which every parent should teach his kid. It is the healthy self-esteem. Allah, actually all of these aspects I will clarify it in full details inshallah from next class. Today it is the introduction. What is the strategy of the classes regarding to the kids as a trust, children as our great trust. This is the introduction and this is what we will discuss inshallah over the next coming weeks in full details. The third concept which the parents has to teach their kids is the healthy self-esteem. Allah the Almighty said in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse number 10. Now we will read it together. We read Surah number 17, verse number 70. 70. 70. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا.
And indeed we have honored the children of Adam and we have carried them on land and sea and provided them with الطيبات, lawful good things, and have preferred them to many of those whom we have created with a marked preferment.
So this verse is a clarification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have honored the children of Adam. Okay? And also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have preferred them above many of the of his other creatures. Now we will also recite from Surah Al-Hijr verse number 29, which is related to the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human beings. We will read now from Surah number 15, verse number 29. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين.
So when I have fashioned him completely and breathed into him, Adam, the soul which I created for him, then fall you down prostrating yourselves to him.
Actually, in the Arabic Quran, in the Quran, which is the Arabic because the English one is the translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I breathed into him from my spirit. Okay, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Okay, and this means that the divine spirit with its greatness and nobility provided the human being towards dignity and respect. From young age, children show a desire for respect and attention. Feeling good about oneself brings peace and happiness. This is very good. You must feel good about yourself because you have the divine spirit inside you, and this has to give you the feeling of dignity and respect. It is the duty of every parent to strengthen the roots of this quality in the spirit of their children. And actually we will learn, inshallah, how to strengthen the roots of this quality in the spirit of their children when we have it in detail with the class. The fourth, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the fourth aspect which the parents has to teach their children is to make your children independent. Okay, it is the duty of every parent to teach their kids to carry out personal and public responsibilities, an achievement often appreciated during the early years of life. Actually, a child who is not taught to do these responsibilities when he is young, he will be very unwilling to do them when he is old. To love your child doesn't mean to do his or her work. For example, a 7-year-old child who is still fed by the mother. Yes. And the mother is very happy and very proud that she's still giving food to her child because, mashallah, he is totally dependent on her. Mashallah, he cannot eat except from her hand. Mashallah, he cannot eat alone. He loved, this is a sign of love for the mother. This is a sign of total failure. For him. Yes. 10-year-old child who never cleans his room. You know, I have this complaint many mothers that their children, whom they are 10 and above, they refuse to clean their rooms because the mother was the one cleaning the room up to the age of 9. So at the age of 9, when she starts to tell them, you know, please clean your room, you know, they always reply, I am happy with my room, you know, as it is. I don't want my room to be clean. You know, in reality, he doesn't want to clean the room. He doesn't want to have the responsibility. So what will be the end result? The end result will be that the mother, after 1 week, will come and clean his room or her room. And this will be the situation until marriage. Yes, until marriage. Yeah. Then when he will marry, he will be marrying a woman whom he is expecting her to do the same role which the mother was doing. To take care of everything, even to hang his clothes when he will come from work. And if the wife will tell him this is wrong, he will tell her, but my mother was the one taking care of everything for me when I was a child. What is the problem with you? You don't want to be a good wife? I want to call my mother now. He is still a child. He cannot grow up because the mother never teach him to, you know, to have the responsibility to be an independent human being, to be the one to depend on him, you know, to fulfill his duties, you know. So actually the true love to your children is to help them to realize their physical and mental powers and to get accustomed to utilize these powers as early age as they can. Inshallah, this all will be discussed in full detail, inshallah. Actually, sisters, we all have to realize that raising kids according to the rules of Islam is the duty of every father, of every parent towards his their kids, so that the kids will acquire the good characters, so that the society will be formed with good people, and the new generation of Muslims will be having strong social and moral values. If you love your Lord and you are looking to please Him, and if you love Islam and you are looking for its spread and power, and if you love your children and you want to help them to live a good worldly life and to have paradise as final destination, and if you love yourself and you want to fulfill your trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and finally if you love humanity and you are looking for a better world for all of the above, please fulfill all your trust to your God, to your parents, to yourself, to your spouse, and to your children. And inshallah, from next week, we will know in details all about how to raise kids in Islam, inshallah. We will listen to some of the comments of the sisters. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to add about the comment about the the husband commenting to the wife that, oh, my mother did it so well. And it's so true that mothers sometimes will get in the picture and say, oh, well, the daughter-in-law is not good because my son shouldn't have to cook, or he shouldn't have to clean, or he shouldn't have to wash his own clothes. You should do everything for him. So it is so important for mothers to especially raise their sons to be responsible, not only to have their bodies mature, but their minds mature to equal their maturity of their body, so they can truly have successful marriages, because no woman wants to be married to a husband and continually have to do it all the time. Sometime maybe, but for him to expect it to be done by her is really a problem, as far as what I can see.
Yes, and actually it is the cause of the failure of a lot of marriages, because sometimes the wife, she feels that her husband is a hopeless case. He is not willing to change any of his habits. Either she has to change herself, or, you know,
he even flush the toilet sometimes.
Yes, he don't want to do anything. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and from our evils. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, and from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves, and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. See you inshallah.